James chapter 4. James chapter 4. You got it? Would you say we make some assumptions about life? I would say we make some assumptions about life, don't we? We expect that things are going to be the way they are. And the longer we live, we realize they're not. But we just do. We think that it's just going to be the way it has always been. And we'll be able to do all the things we've always done. And sometimes we get to that point and we try to do something that we used to do and we can't do it anymore. Or at least it takes longer than it used to. And so we realize as we grow, as we age, that things are not like they used to be. But yet we still look at life and we think things are going to continue much like they always have. And considering society, not what it always was. It's getting, you know, farther and farther away from God, at least our society is. And we think about life and consider life, and James considered life and the inspiration from the Holy Spirit. And he says this in verse number 13. He said, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be tomorrow." No idea, do we? The dollars. Everything changes. Go to the job and they dismiss you and everything changes. Maybe come home and the family's broken up and everything changes. Something happens to one of our children and everything changes. And just like that, it's all different. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Wow. Life. Been pretty good, hasn't it? Been some struggles, some hard times. Life's been pretty good, hasn't it? Now, as we look ahead, we don't know how much time we have. No matter your age, no matter what the doctors say, we don't know how much time we have. Doctor, you know, says maybe 3 months, maybe 2 years. We don't know. Yeah, he doesn't know. She doesn't know. And maybe treatment, maybe not treatment. We don't know. We don't know. But this is what we know. In the concept of time and history, and eternity especially, life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. The time that we're here. So what little time we have, this is not meant to discourage us, but to encourage us, to drive us, to motivate us, that it is brief, that we can't wait until next week. We can't wait until next year. We can't wait until next month, that we have to do it today. In fact, wait till tomorrow for those conversations we need to have, for that one that we want to tell about Jesus. Can we really wait until there's a more convenient season? Can we? I may not have told you about a fellow I met one time. I only met him briefly. He was the boyfriend to one of the managers that worked for me down in Central Florida, and I didn't know him, but the Lord had laid something on my heart while I was there to talk to him about the Lord, and I didn't. Why? Because I thought there'll be another time. It's not the right time, not the right place. And then he hung himself that week. How much did I have? That was the only opportunity I had. And I didn't take it. That's harsh, isn't it? But it's the truth. Guys, we don't know how much time we have. We don't know if we're going to be able to deal with it tomorrow. And so he says, life vanisheth away. Today is the time. Now is the time. By the way, if you're thinking about getting saved, and I, you know, of course I'm talking to people that are beyond this room. I think everybody in here is saved. Now's the day. Now is the time. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time when you call out to God and say, "God, forgive my sins. I put my trust in you. I put my life in your hands. I surrender all to you." Now is the time. Whether it's trying to reach someone or making that decision for yourself, we don't know if we have another opportunity. Verse number 15. Ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So James reminds us that our lives are in God's hand. That God has appointed that time. Isn't that what it says in Hebrews? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We have an appointment with God. How many of you have it on your calendar? I don't know. God has it on his calendar, though. He knows when that time is. In fact, Jesus warned us that it could come as a thief in the night. That we may not expect it, but it is certain we'll stand before the judgment seat. Verse 16, now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Life is a vapor. Don't hold grudges. We talked about that this morning. Let it go. Let go of it. Not only let go of it in your heart and let go of it in prayer, but if it's somebody that you can talk to, call them and say, I forgive you. I've told you about the lady that called me and told me, I forgive you, and I didn't know she was mad. You know, that's what Jacob and Esau, Jacob was going back covered with guilt to say, I'm sorry, and to for payment. And Esau said, for what? Years had passed. He was over it. So we got to make sure we let go of those grudges, those hard feelings. Not avoid those tough conversations. Don't waste hours with worry. How many of you ever solved anything with worry? No. Worry doesn't solve anything. Critical thinking might, but worry doesn't. Seize the opportunities. Seize those opportunities. That opportunity with that young man years ago should have seized that opportunity. When the Lord, especially when the Lord speaks to our heart, and says, do this. Do it. Don't wait. Don't save for another time. Do it now. Never know. If you don't do it, you might end up in the belly of a whale or something. Right? We got to obey God. Now. Enjoy relationships. Isn't that important? You know, we look around and we see so many who don't have their significant other, their spouse, their husband or their wife. And at some point, unless the Lord comes back and takes us together, those of us who still do are going to see that day. Don't take for granted the relationships we have. And don't spend it arguing over stuff that doesn't matter. Don't spend it fussing over stuff that it's not going to matter. Make the most of it. Enjoy your relationship, not only with your spouse, but with your children. I always used to say, and well, it's been a while, but I guess I'll be saying it again soon. Only going to be this young once, right? Only going to be two for so long. They grow up. They get to a point where they don't want to come around anymore. They don't want to spend time. They don't want to talk anymore. And so we have to enjoy those relationships now, not just with family, but with friends. It's good to have friends, isn't it? Good to have people that will laugh with us and support us and encourage us and tell us when we're wrong and when our breath stinks, right? That's important. I told somebody the other day, and my sense of smell hasn't been the same since I had COVID back in January. And so I was standing in the airport the other day, and so I can smell things, but it's very, very quick. And I was standing in the airport, I don't remember which one, and I smelled body odor. And just that quick, it was gone. And I said, I hope that's not me. Right? You got to have friends that will tell you, right? Standing in the airport, nobody's going to walk up and say, hey, brother, you stink. But we need to have somebody that will do that. Right? Somebody close to us that will tell us instead of letting us walk around all day that way. So I know, Sister Carolyn, you'll be that one. I appreciate you. We need to enjoy a relationship, life. You know what I appreciate? I appreciate when I can sing without struggling for air. I appreciate when I can smell without, when I can smell, right? When I can smell smells, aromas. I appreciate when I can breathe. Don't have to sleep in the chair sitting up. How many I appreciate it. Sometimes I'll just be driving down the road and I'll take a deep breath and, oh, that's so good. Thank you, Lord, I can breathe today. And with chronic sinus problems, it's just been a thing all my life. And several seasons of the year, it's that way. Of course, now everybody looks at you when you cough. But I've just appreciated able to breathe. Guys, when we look around and we see people that can't, we ought to be thankful for it. And the beauty. I appreciate life. We ought to appreciate life because it's here and then it's gone. He says, and to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him that's sin. There's a phrase that when you know better, do better. We ought to do better because we know better. We know what God expects. We know right from wrong. By the way, we know about heaven and we know how to get there. We ought to do something about that. Not just for us, but for others. Not just those we love, but those we don't even know. Because we know that's good. We know to do good, which means if we don't do it, that's sin. He goes on. We won't read all of chapter 5, but he says in verse number 7, be patient therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. He's looking for that. Way back then, he was looking for that. He died. Didn't happen. All these years, these decades, centuries, it hasn't happened. But now everything's in place. And I expect that maybe people hear me say that and they think, wow, he's lost his mind. No, I haven't. I've gained it. Because I have that assurance and that hope that not only could it happen in my day, but James expected it in his day. And Paul expected it in his day. And the apostles expected it in their day. And so how wrong would we be as God's children if we don't expect it in our day, even if he doesn't? Because I believe if we look of the running down of the clock and believe that Jesus could come back today, it will motivate us to be more effective and more efficient and more diligent in our efforts to reach the lost, to do the work that God's called us to do good, as he says. He says, behold, the husband, verse 7, chapter 5, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. You don't eat it the day you plant it. That's not how it works. You don't eat it the day you plant it. Brother Clinton would always tell a story about the watermelons, and he said they would be able to eat all the watermelon they wanted growing up, as long as what? You know? As long as they spit the seeds in the container so they could plant the watermelon for next year. Eat all you want, just make sure the seeds go in there. Why? Because you don't eat it the day you plant it. You got to look for the next harvest, the next year. That's what we're doing. I know that we've got people among us who have served God faithfully and diligently, and they're looking for the coming of the Lord and looking for the blessings of the Lord. But understand something, in God's timing, we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not, let us not grow weary in well-doing. We got to stay busy, not faint. He says, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. So he waits, he plants. By the way, does it take some work to get started to plant? Yeah. How much work does it take in between? Just watch it grow. As long as you have rain, right? Just watch it grow. Maybe pull some weeds. Maybe plow some weeds, however you handle it. Spray weeds, whatever. But not as much work in the middle as there is the beginning. And so we work hard up front. And then we wait to see the progress and the growth. And we celebrate the growth. Walk out there and look. Say, oh, the corn's popping up out of the ground. Got ears on it, right? So we monitor it and we measure it and we see the growth. How about in our Christian walk? Right? Can we remember when it sprung up? That hope, that faith, confidence in God? And as it grows, is it growing? Is it truly growing? Does it have ears on it? Are there fruits for our labor? Is there evidence of our growth? You ever go by a field and say, you know, that should be taller by now. That should have some ears on it by now, or some fruit on it by now, or some vegetables on it by now. Well, you know, the Lord looks at us the same way. He says, you know, by now they should be doing something more than what they're doing. By now they should have been producing. By now they should be growing tall. By now they should be healthy Christians. He says, be ye also patient, verse 8. Establish your hearts. The Bible. Establish your heart. Well, the more you read the Bible, somebody said this week, give me some scripture for my situation. Just read any of it. You know why? Because there's no particular verse in there that speaks to your situation, maybe. There's lots of verses in there that speaks to your situation. They speak to our situation, not specifically, but generally. Of hope and of faith and of courage and of not quitting. Of not giving up, of not losing confidence, of resting in God's love, of resting in His promise, resting in His grace. That's what the whole Bible's about. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It's close. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We've got so many going through so much in our church right now. Give up. Just lay down and quit. Keep living, keep hoping, keep believing. And look for the grace of God. I say pray with such faith and such confidence that when God doesn't answer it your way, you're disappointed. I haven't changed. I still hope and beg God for big things. But when it doesn't go the way I want it to, I still trust Him. I still trust Him. I still know He's got it all figured out. What is life? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Let's pray. God, I pray that we're mindful tonight of how brief it is, even though we've enjoyed good life. We look ahead and see that the days are numbered. And so I pray that we'll work hard for those days, that we'll be diligent in your word and prayer and faith, evangelism, ministry, for the days that we have ahead, whether it's years or months or weeks or days. Let us always have the confidence that today could be that day. And let us work with fervency. Forgive our sins and make us useful to your purpose. Guide us now as we go into the monthly business. In Jesus' name, amen.